Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. The preparation of a sermon is not what I or any other preacher I know would consider to be easy work. I and others like me would state that it's rewarding, it's enriching work. But it is time-consuming and at times or frequently could be difficult. It is always the attempt to strive to make things as understandable as possible, to capture the attention of those that are listening. But at the same time, we don't want any offense that's been made to be of us. If the Word of God offends, so be it. But we don't want it to be because we said something that was not from God's Word. The understanding of a sermon is also difficult work. It's not an easy thing to sit and listen to someone else speak for a given length of time, depending on how long the sermon might be. There are many things that can distract, whether it is other people in the service, whether it are things that you didn't accomplish during the day that you wanted to do, or your week coming up. Or even other pages of the Bible. There are certainly things that will take your thoughts away from what is being said. Hopefully we'll see that from the passage that we're looking at tonight, that it is inherently necessary to be a good listener to the words that are being said. Because there is value in those words, not because of me, not because of any other preacher, but because of the words they're trying to present in the Scriptures. And the passage that we're looking at, you will hear the word "hear" frequently. Many times, as a matter of fact, as Jesus tells the people that are listening to him this particular parable. We're going to read verses 1 through 20 of Mark chapter 4. "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth, some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, when the word is sown, when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. It is interesting to note that in our Bible study, we had on midweek Bible study a few weeks ago, we had mentioned we were going to talk about this parable, this portion of Scripture, but in our weekly message going through Mark, it is now that particular time to go through it as well. Sometimes the Lord works these things out in His own timing. I want to give you some notes on the text first, just to let you know a few things, and then we're going to look at it from a couple of different perspectives. Jesus here is teaching the people a great many things. We don't have all of the things that he teaches. Mark is a book of action for the most part. There are some teachings of Christ in it, but most of the time you have to interpret his actions for the teaching. But here in this particular portion, we have a time where Jesus is doing a great amount of teaching to a large amount of people. So many people that he has to get into a boat, and he pushes away from the shore a little ways, and the people are seated on the hillside that is right next to the Sea of Galilee, so that they could listen to him. So that as he speaks, everyone is in the sound of his voice. Almost like a natural amphitheater, but he's in a boat instead. And he teaches them a great amount of things. The point of the teachings of Jesus always focuses on the same thing, though. Regardless of the parable that he's teaching, regardless of the context of what's taking place, and we have it here in verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. That's what the ministry of Jesus Christ is about. The forgiveness of sins. It is always about that. Regardless of the teaching, it is always about that. He is always pointing to his work on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And this parable is a description of what takes place in the hearts of people who hear the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of forgiveness, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the thrust of this passage, and should be the thrust of everything that a Christian's life is about. It is the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. A couple of other things we want to take note of. Here he says, in verse 11, he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, when we use a mystery, the word mystery in modern day English, we use it in the sense of there is something that is hidden, that we cannot understand, we do not know the facts of. And so we want to try and uncover the facts, but some things just remain a mystery. There's a famous mystery in the annals of criminal lore in England of Jack the Ripper. And it's a mystery who he was. And it will remain a mystery to mankind forever, I think. That's not the kind of mystery that's being spoken of here. It's not something that's hidden. It's something that is amazing. It is a mystery that God, in his graciousness, has condescended to us in our sinfulness. It's a mystery why he would do that, and it's a mystery how he has done that. How is it that Jesus Christ is God and man at the same time? Fully God and fully man. I can't explain that. It's a mystery. It's a mystery how he accomplishes that. It's a mystery that he wants to accomplish that. It's a mystery that he wants to forgive sins through his own death. That's the mystery of the kingdom of God. Christianity is a religion, if you will. I don't like using the word religion, but Christianity is a religion of a book. It is not a religion of movies. It is not a religion of drama. It is a religion of a book that you read and that you hear spoken. And time again, it is eyes to see what's written and ears to hear. So many times throughout antiquity, most people were not literate. They couldn't read. They couldn't write. And so the only method for them to hear the Word of God, to know the Word of God, was to listen. And so time and time again, Jesus says to hear. And here in this, the different here, in Mark chapter 4, in these first 20 verses, he used the words listen 9 times in just those 20 verses. Hearken, or hear, 9 times. And in the next section, the next 13 verses that kind of go with this, but would just give us too much material to fit into a sermon this evening. In those next 13 verses, he uses it another 4 times. It is implicit upon us to listen, to hear. That's what you're doing as you're sitting here listening to my sermon. We'll go ahead and pause that.